We had a great day in the Lord's house this morning. As I mentioned, we had about 20 first-time guests today and several visiting families, and that was a blessing. And then we had several saved this morning. One lady sat over here, Brother Renison, right about where you were, and she raised her hand, and one of our ladies was right there and helped her and witnessed to her. Afterwards, we were in the line, and the lady that talked to her said, so-and-so asked Jesus to save her today. I said, is that true? She said, I did. And she came because of our bus ministry. She didn't ride the bus, but somebody from the bus invited her, and she came. Isn't that a blessing? Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, others were saved today as well. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse number 9. The Bible says this, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. There are a lot of Bible verses about anger and being foolish, and I could go into a lot of that tonight, but we're in our series about emotional victory and how do we deal with our feelings. We know God has given us all the capacity to feel. Anger is one of those things that God exhibits.
Yes, he does.
God exhibits anger. You can see that in the scriptures. Jesus exhibited anger. We see that in the scriptures. Amen? Amen. Flipped over the tables. The righteousness hath, the zeal of his house has eaten him up. He exhibited those things. But anger was a holy attribute that God has. He's holy in his anger. And so we must be careful. And when we get angry, and I don't know about you tonight, but when I get angry, typically it's not over something righteous. Although that happens, but typically it's not. Amen. Typically, it's because I was trying to merge into my lane on the way to church tonight, and somebody else merged right in front of me without their blinker. That made me angry, and so on and so forth. And so tonight, we're going to talk about how do we deal with anger. You know the scene. You walk out of your car, you get out of your car at Walmart, and you hear some honking. Meep, 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 meep. You walk around the corner and you see someone yelling and honking at someone else for attempting to take their parking stall. How many of you have ever seen that before? Arguments ensue. Insults are hurled. Gestures are made. Violence is threatened. All in the name of a parking space. Isn't it amazing how people get so worked up over the silliest things? Isn't it amazing how we get worked up over the silliest things? So tonight, how do we deal with anger? Father, I pray you bless the message, bless the special now. And Lord, I know it's warm in here tonight. Lord, help us to pay attention and get something from your word tonight. Maybe somebody in the room tonight has been dealing with anger. Lord, I know I deal with anger every day. Things that happen that I don't like or I don't understand. And help us, Lord, to deal biblically with that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you tonight would self-proclaim, say that you have a hot button? Anybody? You say, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm saying something that makes you mad. I mean, boy, this one thing happens and it just sets you off. Anybody else besides me? And I don't know, it could be something different for you. It could be the dog doesn't listen and it makes you mad. Or maybe when the kids roll the eyes. See, there it is right there. There's the hot button. Rolls the eyes. Guys, when your wife rolls her eyes, no, I'm just kidding, because that happens a lot to you, amen? What do you mean, oh, easy, Brother Asprelli? And, hey, we all have hot buttons. Maybe it's your kids when they're defiant or a teenager that gives you that look, or when somebody tailgates you. We all have our hot buttons, don't we? And it might be something different than mine, but Solomon says this, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Fools are the ones who get caught up in anger. It seems that the most angry people are the ones who justify their anger. I had a right to yell at that guy. Did you see? He took my spot. I had a right to get mad at and throw a plate across the room because my wife, she gave me broccoli again. How many don't like broccoli tonight? Anybody don't like broccoli? I like broccoli as long as it's covered in cheese, amen? Or ranch dressing, or both. You can do both if you like. Hey, sometimes we lose our cool, and boy, we like to justify that, and we like to lose it, but we just, hey, well, that dog, or that kid, or that person, or whatever, boy, they made me mad. So tonight, I want to talk just for a few minutes. How do we respond biblically with anger in our lives? Sometimes anger is a good thing. I said, sometimes anger is a good thing. I don't know if you've ever been in a real fight before, but when you get into a fight in a situation where you have to protect your family or something, I don't know, the adrenaline makes you angry. I don't know if you've ever been there before. But that's a good thing. That's your adrenaline. It helps you to take care of what needs to be taken care of. Some of you mothers, your son or your daughter wrecks on their bicycle, or boy, something happens. Boy, that adrenaline kicks in and it kind of makes you mad. And boy, you need that anger. Huh, moms?
Yes.
Thank you. You need that adrenaline rush. You heard the stories about the mom who, you know, the car backs over the kid, and the mom lifts the car off him and all that stuff. And I just picture in my mind like the Incredible Hulk, groceries hanging from the arms, you know. And sometimes anger is good. Sometimes anger is good in the context of men in our homes. Boy, if something happens in our homes that's not Christ-like or not something that we know is wrong, it ought to upset us.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
It ought to upset us. Boy, if we hear our kids saying something, my kids, sometimes they pick up something from, you know, from another kid in the church or something, and they pick up something, or your kid might pick up something from my kid, and boy, they'll say something, and man, that just, why did you say that? Where'd you hear that? And boy, that anger, you know, I don't want you to talk that way. I don't want you to be disrespectful or whatever. So sometimes anger is good. We need anger. So how do we deal biblically with anger in our lives? So number one, I have written down here, test our spirit. We need to test our spirit. Is our anger wise or is it foolish? Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter number 19. If you're in Ecclesiastes, you're going to take a left. Proverbs chapter number 19. Look at verse number 11. Proverbs 19:11 says this, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 14:29 says this, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that has hasty of his spirit exalteth folly." I think that most Christians in the room tonight, most wise Christians, whether you have a bad temper or not, would admit that learning to control our temper is a lesson worth learning. Let me make that statement again. Whether you're been a Christian for a long time, or whether you're a dad or a mom or even a young person, you understand tonight, a wise Christian understands that learning how to control your temper is a lesson worth learning. It's worth learning. I don't know about you, but I've lost my temper before. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, somebody cuts you off, so you yell at them. That's not what I'm talking about. You're seeing red. You know what I'm talking about. And I've lost my temper before, and I'm sure you have too, because we're human beings and those types of things happen. But learning how to control yourself is a lesson worth learning. Amen. In the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles came. I was thinking about Oreos, amen? Ice cold milk. The Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play a routine baseball game. But what happened that day was anything but routine. The Orioles' John McGraw got into a fight with the Boston third baseman. Within minutes, all the players from both teams had joined in the brawl. The warfare quickly spread to the grandstands. Among the fans, the conflict went from bad to worse. Someone set fire to the stands, and the entire ballpark burned to the ground. Not only that, but the fire spread to 107 other Boston buildings as well, because John McGraw got mad at the third baseman. How many of us tonight in our lives, we've learned that when we lose our temper, it burns out of control and can destroy some things? So we need to test our spirit. I got mad about that. Well, test your spirit. Why are you mad? Let me give you some things to test. Here's letter A. Is the anger directed towards others? Is it directed towards others rather than towards others' sin? See, when God was angry, Jesus was angry, he wasn't mad at the person for what they did. He was mad at the sin that they were involved in. God wasn't mad at a specific person because they're just, you know, did whatever. He was mad at their sin. Let's go to Romans chapter number 7. Can we go there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans in the New Testament. Romans chapter number 7. Marty, it's good to see you here tonight. And he's a bus captain at a church in Marina, California, and comes to our bus conference every year. It's a blessing having you here tonight. Romans chapter number 7. I heard you're moving here. and you're going to become a bus captain. Amen. No, just kidding. No pressure. Amen. Romans chapter number 7, look at verse number 18. Paul the apostle says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, what? Hey, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. Look at down at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You know, Paul was admitting here he was weak. He was wretched. He had sin in his life. And oftentimes when we get angry, we direct all of our anger towards somebody else, like they're the only ones in the world that do anything wrong, and we never do anything wrong.
Right.
Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, I hate to say this, but I've probably cut off a few people in my day. I'm sure I have. My wife gets on me all the time about texting and driving. And don't act like you don't text and drive. Don't, you know. Yeah, sure. And, you know, I'm a pastor. I got to text and drive. No, I'm just kidding. No, but my wife, you know, put the phone away. And I'm sure I would text or something while I'm driving. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't be admitting that on live stream. But I'm sure I cut somebody off along the line or pull out in front of somebody. In other words, what I'm saying is I get mad at this guy for cutting me off. But guess what? I cut off people too once in a while. Not on purpose, but, you know, no, not to do it on purpose. But, boy, you know, we you know what? But we bring it down to the family level. Boy, we get mad at each other. How about we take a good look in the mirror and say, oh, wretched man that I am.
Amen. There you go. Good.
I watch my kids sometimes. Boy, they get into it over something. And this kid will say, well, this guy did this and this guy did this. And boy, they get into it. I'm thinking, yeah, but you just did the same thing. I do the same thing.
Yeah, right.
Oh, how we need to look at ourselves. Is our anger directed towards someone else or towards a sin? Well, as a pastor, sometimes I see things and it's a sinful situation or something that I know is going to hurt somebody. Boy, it makes me, it really makes my blood boil. But I can't get mad at the person. It's the sin. That's the problem.
Right.
Let me give you an example. You go to Starbucks and you drive through the line and the person serving you is not particularly, masculine or feminine, if you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know about you, but I get angry about that sometimes. And it just in my own nature as a man, I'm like, I'm offended by that, but it's not the person. I'm not going to, and by the way, it's not right for you to direct anger towards that person. Amen. It's not right for you to say, what's wrong with you? No. How about this? Hey, I want to invite you to my church. Love to have you. And listen, and you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, you know, take it up with God when you die. Amen. So Proverbs 22:29-22. I'm not saying you're going to die because you did that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying talk to him when you get there. Proverbs 29:22 says this, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Test the spirit. I want to say things sometimes, but boy, I got to just, test the spirit. Amen. An angry man stirreth up things and constantly stirring, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. If your fits of rage are hurting people, then it's not right. If you're hurting people. So letter A, test the spirit. Letter A, letter B here. Is the anger rooted in selfishness? So is it directed towards others and not the sin? Or is it rooted in selfishness? Romans 12:10 says this, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. It's hard to get mad at somebody for taking your parking space when you're preferring one another. Hey, you're taking my space! No, you can go ahead, have the space, amen. Oh, how we is our anger rooted in selfishness? That was my parking space. Nobody told me about the change. Hey, they won't listen to me. Me. Is your anger rooted in selfishness? Are you getting upset because you didn't get your way about something? Come on now, I'm not the only one. Amen. Boy, is anger rooted in selfishness? How about this one? Is anger, letter C, is anger rooted in pride? Is it rooted in pride? Only by pride cometh contention, but with a well-advised is wisdom, Proverbs 13:10. What? Ben got the promotion? He's younger than I am. Pride. What? They got a brand new car? I make more money than they do. It's pride. Anger because of pride. Oh, how we need to be careful of that. Oftentimes when our pride gets wounded, we lash out like a wounded animal. That, you know, somebody says something that hurts our pride. And boy, remember meekness? What is the definition of meekness? Control under injury. Control under injury. Boy, Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again.
Right.
When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. Sometimes our pride gets hurt, and boy, we lash out in anger. But where is that anger rooted? It's rooted in pride. Sometimes somebody will say something to me, and sometimes somebody will say something to you, and it'll offend you, and it'll work on you. And how many of that's ever happened to you before? And come on, I'm not the only one. Raise your hand. Help me out here. And they'll say something to you, and maybe it might not even be true, or it might be true. But they say it to you, and it hurts your pride. And boy, you chew on that thing, and you're angry about it, you seethe about it, and then you realize, man, it's pride.
Yeah.
It's pride.
Yeah.
Is anger rooted in pride? Letter D, is anger rooted in lack of control? Let's go to Proverbs 25, 28. Proverbs 25. My message is not long tonight. Proverbs 25, 28. We'll get you out of here so you can go get a milkshake. Amen?
Yeah.
I said that one time, and the family came up to me and said, "You promised my kids milkshakes." I said, I did not promise anything. Amen. Look at Proverbs 25. Look at verse 28. The Bible says this, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." Can you imagine America without its military? With no missile defense system and no National Guard and no Marines, Semper Fi, and no Navy with their warships in there and no, I mean, just, we were, if you, can you imagine one day without that amazing military, we would be in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
Why? Because it's defense against our enemies that would really like to see America burn to the ground. Well, in our life, if we lack control, a man that does not have rule over his own spirit is like that city without walls. If you lack control, boy, anything and everything can get to you. How we need to control ourselves. Say, Pastor, I don't lack control. I just get upset once in a while. And I understand we all get upset about this or that, but how we cannot lose control. What happens when we lose control? The spirit loses control and the flesh takes over. And then we find ourselves saying things we shouldn't say, hurting people and so on and so forth. You say, Pastor, how do I know I'm losing control? Let me give you three quick thoughts. Are you blowing up? That's number one. Are you blowing up, smashing things, screaming, punching walls? You're out of control. I said, you're out of control. You could say amen to that. If you're punching walls, there's something wrong. Within our busy society and the pressures of today and the schedules. And I understand that we feel like we're in a pressure cooker sometimes. But are you blowing up at your family? Blowing up at your coworkers? Blowing up and being violent? Those types of things. Number two, are you clamming up? Many in here, you might not have an outward burst of anger. But inside, boy, you just clam up. I'm not letting you talk to me. What's wrong? Nothing. Boy, if your wife says that, guys, you're in trouble. Amen. What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing wrong with me. And do you clam up and push everything down? You could be out of control. Just because you're not saying anything out loud doesn't mean you're not out of control. Clamming up, bearing things, being bitter, anger buried deep inside turns to resentment. Resentment that's buried deep inside eventually turns to bitterness. But that's out of control. Say, are you blowing up? Are you messing up? Are you clamming up? Number three, are you messing up? Are you messing up? Oftentimes people will use anger as an excuse to sin.
That's right.
Let me give you an example. Your wife makes you angry, so you go sin. That's out of control.
Right.
Your spirit is out of control. Lady, your husband upsets you, so you go out and you do something against the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because you're mad at him. Teenagers do that. Their parents make them upset. So they sin. They hurt the Lord. They mess up. They do things they're not supposed to do out of the excuse of anger. So we ought to test our spirit today. Are we out of control? Are we are the things that we're doing, the anger that we have, is it rooted in selfishness? Is it rooted in pride? Is it rooted in a lack of self-control? Not only to test the spirit, but number two, we ought to temper our spirit. Temper. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 31. Ephesians 4, 31. And just as a side note here, Christians, we ought to have the sweetest spirit of anybody out there.
Amen.
Are you listening, please?
Amen.
Christians, we ought to have the sweetest spirit of anyone out there.
Amen.
I know you paid $4 for that coffee and they didn't get it right, but it doesn't give you the excuse to throw it on the ground and act, have a bad attitude and no, it ought to be, you know what? I'm sorry. This is not right. It's not, dude, get it right next time. No. We ought to have the sweetest spirit around.
Amen.
I don't, you know, you do what you want, I guess, but I don't think it's right for a Christian to choose somebody out. I just don't think it's right. By the way, people, that's a side note, but anyways, I keep moving on. Temper the spirit. Ephesians 4:31. I got to stay on track. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's saying here, listen, all these things, we ought to temper our spirits. We ought to get all these things out of our life. Maybe there's some clamor. There's some evil speaking. There's malice in the home. Oh, how we need to temper our spirit. Teach our spirit. Listen, we need to teach our spirit how to respond correctly. Colossians 3:8, but now put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Listen, as Christians, we ought not be cursing and swearing at people.
Right.
Or at our own kids. Or at our spouse. We ought not be letting things, bitter things and wrath and anger come out of our mouth. Now listen, I understand, boy, your kids do something they're not supposed to do. Sometimes it makes you mad. Amen. And you might say, hey, don't do that. Amen. And you might get on to them. But man, there's no reason for us to curse at them or swear at them or whatever the case is. If a small thing has the power to make you angry, does that not indicate something about your size? If a small thing has the power to make you angry, does that not indicate something about your size? Sometimes we ought to temper our spirit. Letter A here, recognize that anger is a sin. Anger is a sin. When it's not directed towards sin, anger is a sin. I said anger is a sin if it's not directed towards sin. It's not just about your nationality. It's not just about your temperament. It's not just, well, pastor, that's who I am. I just lose my temper once in a while. No, it's a sin. In other words, if you lose your temper and you get mad at your kids and you scream and yell at them, you get mad at your wife or you get mad at work, you ought to apologize and ask for forgiveness. It's a sin. It's a sin. Getting angry, losing control. Ask for forgiveness. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear it, thou hast gained thy brother. Oh, how we, if we offend somebody, we ought to go straight to them and fix it. Ask for forgiveness. You say, so what do we do if we sin? You know, what do we do if we cross that line and we lose control? And by the way, I'm not the only one here that loses control. All of us here have an issue with anger in one way or another, and we lose control once in a while. Human beings do that. So what do we do when that happens? Like I mentioned, number one here, ask for forgiveness and ask and say, I'm sorry. Amen. Dads, it's okay to say, I'm sorry. I won't forget because it happened yesterday, the other day. We're in the car and I said something my wife and I were talking about something and my wife, we were talking. We said, no, we shouldn't have said that. And so my son got involved with that. And I just looked in the car. I looked back at him. I said, buddy, I'm sorry. And here's what he said. I'm sorry too, Dad. It's all right to apologize once in a while. Amen. And guys, say you're sorry. And ladies, if we blow our stack and we do something we're not supposed to, ask for forgiveness. Maybe you blew it with a coworker at work and boy, you lost your temper. Go to that coworker and say, man, I'm sorry. I lost my temper last week. And well, will you forgive me? Ask for forgiveness. Number two here, what do we do? Respond with grace. Respond with grace. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. When dealing with anger in your life and when dealing with anger of somebody else, we ought to respond with grace. It's counterproductive to fight fire with fire. Maybe in your life, you have a spouse that gets angry. Don't get angry in return. It's just, don't fight fire with fire. Respond with grace. Number three, and we got to move on. Number three, what do we do how do we deal biblically with anger? We got to test our spirit. Is our spirit right? We got to temper our spirit. And lastly, we need to trust and surrender. Trust and surrender. Letter A, let it go. Let it go. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling, Proverbs 2:3. You know, I think that sometimes we grab onto something, it makes us angry, and it's tough for us to let it go. We need to trust God that He'll take care of that situation.
Right.
But pastor, you don't understand. They did this, and boy, they need to pay for that, and so on. But you know what? You're hurting yourself with the anger.
Yeah.
Let it go. Trust and surrender. You know, God is pretty good at getting revenge when God wants to get revenge.
Amen.
And God's good. By the way, I'm so thankful that I've done some things that God's forgiven me for.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that He's had mercy on me. Boy, we need to practice mercy on others. Let it go. What are you mad about tonight? What are you angry about in your life? Don't you understand that the devil's trying to get victory in that situation? Oftentimes, things will happen in my life, and I, like a good husband, I'll complain to my wife, amen? And I'll say, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why God allowed this or whatever. And you've done the same thing. You said the same thing. And she'll say this to me, and we've kind of, it's kind of a thing we talk about now. Say, do you think that God wants that? Or do you think the devil wants that? And sometimes you look at a situation in your life, you have to think, does God want me to feel this way? Does God want me to be angry at this person? Or is the devil trying to get me to be angry at this person? Is the devil trying to keep me worked up about this situation? Oh, God wants us to forgive. We need to trust and surrender. Let it go. Let her be. Lastly tonight, give God control.
Amen.
Give Him control. Romans chapter number 12. We'll close with this. Let's go there. Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 17 of Romans chapter 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, I love that, as much as you can. What does it say next? Live peaceably. Live peaceably. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, put it in its place. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if mine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's the thought tonight. Are you dealing with anger in your life? You're angry about this. You're angry about that. You're angry because this guy got the promotion. You're angry because your kids are doing this. If you're overcome, listen, here's what you got to do. Give it to God. And let God take control of your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.